afternoon, friends, let us come out in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, we enter into thy presence to worship you in spirit and in truth as a congregation, fulfilling thy instructions not to leave off the assembling of ourselves together, awaiting the catalyst of thy spirit as it moves upon thy people, recognizing that we become strengthened by thy word, that we live not by bread alone, but by every word that is proceeded forth out of thy mouth. Thankful, our Father, that you have made known unto us the nature of thy purposes, that you have granted unto us the understanding and the instruction, that you brought back to our remembrance the covenant which you have made with us before the foundation of the world, that you have assured us of thy purposes in bringing to pass all the things which you have declared, that you have given unto us the sure word of prophecy, and by the witness of thy Spirit make known unto thy household the conditions of their environment as they come to pass. Thank for our Father the eternal nature of thy church, the spiritual center of thy kingdom, of the nations of thy households, and of thy people in the earth. As we meditate upon these things which you have ordained, and out of the processes of thy word discover the mysteries which are relative to the identity of thy people, we pray that you shall build our faith, that you shall cause us to lift up thy standards as we bind the darkness and loose the light. We pray for this great nation, and we pray that you will grant unto us leadership with wisdom and intelligence to fulfill thy word. Remove quickly, O God, those that would injure or destroy. Bring victory to thy holy people. Smash the powers of darkness and lift up thy standards. So, our Father, as we commit ourselves to thy hand, we say, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. We turn this afternoon into a subject which is controversial, and that makes it more interesting. We talk about the differences of people, especially as this relates to the distinction between the children of God, the sons and daughters of God, and those that are not the sons of God. Especially as we find so many areas of error concerning the identity of the sons of God and processes by which the church teaches men become the sons of God. There's nothing more important for you to know this afternoon than who you are if you're a child of God. And significantly so, I point out to you that there are certain passages in the scriptures that mark the differences in people. I listened to a sociologist trying to tell people over the television the other night that everybody was the same and all people were the same under the skin. And this is where he made his greatest error. Whereas we may say differences in color and we may see differences in national origin and in areas of philosophy and belief, I'm going to tell you that the greatest areas of difference can be marked by the quality inside the container. And it's an important thing for us to understand that God must see a great difference in people. Of course, the very word people in itself is a marked word, and we like to use the word people rather than use the word human beings, because everybody is not a human being. So I said, what do you mean by that? Well, because the word human means spirit man and does not apply to anybody but the descendants of Adam. When we talk about people, there are all kinds of people, because a people is a progeny. Now, people don't understand that. Lots of people have been taught that this is just a word for everybody. Well, everybody is somebody's progeny. But if God has a people, they are his progeny, and therefore they are his heirs and his inheritance. So if there is a people that are the people of God, they are the progeny of God. They are the issue of God. They are the offspring of God. They are the sons and daughters of God. I point out to you in the book of Leviticus that God makes this distinction. He said, I have said, ye shall inherit the land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. But I am Yahweh your God, which has separated you from other people. I am Yahweh your God that has separated you from other people. Now, in this same context, we point out to you that in the book of Deuteronomy, God makes this statement concerning you. He says, thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy God. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. This is the decision of God. This is the selection of God. This is the declaration that you are a progeny of God. Now, there might be those who think that this was just a matter of God just picking out a people and say, now I'm going to identify myself with this people. But no. Well, we point out to you in the continuation of God's declaration concerning this people, as we've read in the 7th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, that when God speaks concerning you, he speaks in a very definite way. Over in the 9th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and he said, I prayed therefore unto Yahweh, and Yahweh God, destroy not thy people, for they are thine inheritance. And thou hast redeemed them through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. When Moses said, they are thine people and thine inheritance, he established that they were issue offspring. Now when he said, for thou hast redeemed them out of Egypt, they belonged to him before they went into Egypt, and they belonged to him from the beginning, or it would not have been a redemption. He turned into thinking that God unveils concerning his people, and the psalmist tells us that they were his people, none other like thee, O Israel, a people saved by the Lord, where Yahweh is thy God, none is like thee. In the declaration of the Gospel of St. Luke, in which it makes the announcement to Elizabeth that she's to have a child, and when this child comes, he comes in the spirit of Elijah. But he has a special mission to perform for his God. And this special mission is that many of the children of Israel, he must turn unto Yahweh their God. And he shall go before in the spirit and the power of Elijah to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. A people of God. The declaration not only is found there, but we note that inside the record which we have in the book of Hebrews, that God again identifies a people which belong to himself. And this is the covenant that I will make with Israel, when I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, they shall be unto me a people. In the book of Corinthians, where God calls for the segregation of your race, he very clearly says, come out from among them, be separate and segregated. He calls for you not to touch the unclean thing, because he wants to continue to have a people for himself. He doesn't want it contaminated. He doesn't want it mongrelized. Therefore, come out and touch not this unclean thing. Why? Because I dwell in them whose bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, as different from those who are the temples of Belial. Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, God said, what agreement hath the temple of idols with the temple of the living God? And I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He's talking about an inheritance, about a progeny, about those words spoken by the Apostle Paul, the same measure, and that is that we have not received the Spirit like the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, being the fact that we are not like the natural man without the Spirit. We have the Spirit of the living God. How do we get it? Well, we go back again to these words in the book of Deuteronomy, which says, thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy God. And we again take the definition of holy, only that which proceeds forth out of God is holy. I want to clarify before you this afternoon the differences in people that mark the difference between the world order of those earlier creations which went under trouble and problem when Lucifer's rebellion consummated the battle in the heavens and Michael the archangel threw him out of the heavens and earth becomes his capital. The civilizations of earth came under the great judgment of the capital being in the hands of Lucifer. But the grace of God was even directed towards those creations, and he promised that he was going to deliver all of the peoples of his creation. And before the foundation of the world had told you, celestial children begotten by his Spirit in the heavens, that he was going to send you to earth to build a kingdom. It is totally impossible for you or any other Bible student to understand the tremendous truth that is hidden away in the Scriptures, unless you understand that your origin was in celestial planes, and that you, the Adamic race, are the offspring of God, that you are His children, and that He sent you into the world to accomplish something. More than that, He knew that you would fall in this environment, and He knew by the power of His grace that He would finish the task He had determined to establish, would not let you be destroyed. As we read to you in the past and in Malachi, He says, I am Yahweh thy God, therefore I change not, and ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The grace of God is the most vital facet of divine application necessary for the carrying forward of the destiny of His children, the activation of His Spirit, working on a capacity that they possess that the world does not have. All the evangelists in the world cannot give to the world what it does not have. You might instruct it, you might teach it, and their abilities to understand are limited as compared to those that constitute the household of God. God said, I have separated you from all these other people. I abhor their conduct. I have separated you because you're mine. I'm not concerned about the fact that there are those who think that our race is doomed and integration is going to end the white race and Christian civilization eventually absorb it. It's just time to wake the race up and determine the destiny shall not be in the control of those that are against the program of God's kingdom. You know, one of the most intense periods of our history is going to be the awakening of the white man. Listen. I read to you then the declaration, which is significant, most important. And you say, I've heard these passages before, but now take a new look at them. Because I'm going to establish your empty for you real clear that an evangelist does not make sons and daughters of God by teaching a people that had the capacity to receive it, responsibility to God, or to take a stand for Him, or to identify themselves with Him. An evangelist might hold an evangelistic meeting, and people might take a stand to identify themselves with Christ, and it didn't make them sons and daughters of God. If they were not sons and daughters of God beforehand, they never became sons and daughters of God by any mental decision or any mental gymnastics. Well, you say, well, we could just tell anybody, and if they'll accept Christ, they become children of God. This is an error and a lie. Not if you're going to accept the content of the Scripture. There was a rather interesting statement made a short time ago as a group of Christian businessmen wanted to evangelize the world. They thought we should hold up on bombings in order that we might send missionaries over and evangelize the VidCon. All you do is just send over a bunch of men to be either shot or put in prison. Because you're not going to make out of the VidCon sons and daughters of God. I'm going to tell you this afternoon that nothing that happened after Jesus came made sons and daughters of God of the people who accepted Him. Well, you say, well, how do we explain this? I'll tell you how you explain this. Because He came to His household, and He came to His sons and daughters, and there were sons and daughters before He came, even before they knew who He was or knew what He was going to do. The great mystery of this is found in the book of Hebrews again, that tremendous second chapter, since the children of God were in bodies of flesh and were partakers of flesh and blood, He came and took a body like they had, not ashamed to call them His kinsmen, to rescue them from who were troubled in the fear of death. He didn't say He came to make sons and daughters out of them. He came because the children of God were in bodies of flesh. And then in the majesty of His ministry, He said, I not only call my sheep by name, but I lead them out. He made a marked distinction between those that were His people, His household, and His sheep, His sons and His daughters, and the world and the world order. Not concerning what He was ultimately going to do, but concerning their identity and their abilities at His time. When Jesus said, I call my sheep by name, I lead them out, I give them eternal life, He turned to the Jews who had no part in this. He says, ye believe not because you're not my sheep. I want to point out to you that the translators trip themselves up occasionally when their theology, of course,
which they're seeking to express in translation is that of the hierarchy or the theology they're a part of. Maybe they honestly are so sold on an area of theology that they will warp anything to prove it. But there is something that you must remember. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh thy God is one El, one Lord. So therefore, the person of God and the identity of God remains one. I, Yahweh, am thy Yahshua. And again, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, one God above all. 43rd chapter of Isaiah says, I, Yahweh, thy God, I am thy Savior, Yahshua. Now, the reason why I want to point this out is that in that council which God made when he discussed with you before the foundation of the world his purposes, he had already created in the vastness of his purpose throughout the ages and before the fall of Lucifer a world. And there were people upon it, tongueless men that traveled over the steppes of Asia, down into Africa, traveled across old Europe, painted animals on caves 23,000 years ago, according to the radiocarbon of their campfires. They weren't your relatives. People that were Asiatic in their background and in their shape with their skulls and their fossils, nothing wrong with it. Long before your time, not Adamites, on the seventh day when God, in this area of creation, said, I shall now do something. I am going to place Adam in the earth because, behold, there is no man to till the soil. There is no Adamite, no offspring in the flesh to till the soil. And yet there's people all over the world. And in the book of Ezekiel, he talked about how the Assyrian Empire was over all the earth because its racial stream was so great, and the Egyptian Empire was a strong and powerful kingdom before all this, because in the days when God put Adam and Eden, these empires were everywhere, he tells you in Ezekiel. It is significant that these cardinal points remain fixed in your mind. So God turned unto the Elohim and said, let us make Adam, which is the flesh body, in our image. Now, I've asked several people who they thought Elohim was, and they said, well, that's God's plural. That's the various natures of God. God was talking to the Son, or the Father was talking to the Holy Spirit, or they said, let us. No, my friends, hear, O Israel, Yahweh thy God is one Lord, spirit, soul, and body. You're not three people, you're one person, spirit, soul, and body. But understand this. The translators knew well that Elohim was the plural God as progeny, offspring. But it wasn't convenient for them in their Methodism or their Episcopalianism or in their various areas to permit this to stand out. Now take this as no attack upon these churches for such truth as they know, but we're coming to the end of the age where we can't stand still. If theology has stood still in your denomination or the church you came out of through these years, if it stood still, then that's where vision ended. Because the knowledge of God, like the waters that cover the sea, shall reach out throughout ages, and you learn more and you know more and you're guided into all truth. And if you stop learning and think you've got the content all sewed up, then, my friends, I want you to tell you that you've just got a little conceit. I point out to you that the word Elohim meant the offspring of God, because he talks about it all through the scriptures. They are his people in the spirit as well as in the flesh. So therefore, let me point out to you again the 82nd Psalm. God stands in the congregation of the mighty, and he judgeth among the gods. But there isn't any God beside him, not a one. God stands in the congregation of the mighty, who judges among the gods. Now the sixth verse, what did he say? Ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. So you see, the translators knew what they were talking about, because the word here is, ye are Elohim, and all of you are the children of Yahweh. So Elohim are Yahweh's children, and they know it. How do you think your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world? How do you think, according to the book of Ephesians, that you were blessed with all spiritual blessings in the presence of the Father before the foundation of the world? Because you, in the Spirit, were with him, his household, his offspring. And when he said, we will make the body Adam in the image of the Spirit, you entered into the world by birth. And now you were partakers of flesh and blood, Hebrews, the second chapter. And when God came down to save his people, he took a body like they had, not ashamed to say, you're my kinsmen. If you don't think there's a difference in people, what do you think God infers about his re-entry to the world? The first thing I'm going to do, he said, I'm going to separate the nations like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. What basis are you separating them on? The difference between his people and the world order.
Listen. Therefore, ye are gods. All of you are the children of the Most High. You are the Elohim.
You are his people, issue ruling in the earth, Israel.
That's why, again, the word Beirah, to bring forth issue, is different than the word in Hebrew 8, God, a former make. So when God talks about the Adamic race and he talks about bringing you forth, you are his issue, his Beirah, brought forth out of yourself. Adam was the son of God. In the genealogy of Jesus Christ, traced back to Seth, who was the son of Adam, who was the son of God. When you read in John 3:16, that in the purpose of God's grace, as he proves, he so loved the world order, that he brought forth his only begotten issue. Now you say, why? Because this is the first time and only time, having fathered the race, that God brought forth his own embodiment out of that race. And for this very cause, the Apostle Paul calls the embodiment of God, Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Whereas the first Adam, therefore, was a living soul, the second Adam was the very Lord of glory. He was the life-giving Spirit. Whereas by transgression in Adam all die, and we've had undertakers and funerals ever since, in Jesus Christ, the second Adam, all shall be made alive. The significance of this declaration is that you have come down out of the heavens into the earth. And you are the people of God, the children of God, the sons and daughters of God. And you didn't bring anything in but this entity of soul that dwells in the Spirit. And when you go out, you don't take anything out but your consciousness and your knowledge of your experiences, which are the sum total of your memory. Why, do you remember what the Father said about the difference in your spirit and theirs? In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus said, even the Spirit of truth, which was the outpouring of his conscious intelligence, even the Spirit that the world cannot receive, but you can receive it. And when it comes, it's going to bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I've told you even from the beginning. It's going to lead you into the knowledge of truth. The world can't hear it. The world doesn't have those remembrances before they weren't with him before the foundation of the world. Someone says it's not fair. Well, it's fair for God to make anything the way he wants to throughout all the universe. And if Lucifer upsets it, it's God's prerogative and his necessity that he puts it back in order. Because he's God. He's that big. Therefore, he said, no man can ascend into heaven but he that comes down out of it. No man can say, oh, well, I said, I want to send all these Africans into heaven. You want to watch riot up there? I want to send all these Asiatics into heaven. You do? Well, you want Ho Ming and Mao up there and all his offspring? You evangelize them one day and they turn melt the bell down into bullets the next day? Rice Christians? Now, let me tell you something. When Jesus said no man can ascend into heaven, but he that comes down out of it, if he didn't have a spiritual entity and a spiritual synthesis and a spiritual being, that was the same wavelength as the dwellers of heaven on a right spiritual plane, and out of the Father, they couldn't go back in it. Now, if you've got a complex all worried about torture fires and terrible revenges forever and ever, get the superstition out and see what the Scripture says. I'm talking about the sons and daughters of God, and I don't have to worry about the grace of God who created the heavens and earth and whose love was so made manifest that he would die himself and buy the world to redeem his family and then promise that he's going to restore it till all flesh shall be saved as it is written. By this declaration then, Jesus, of course, never accepted the Jews. He left that for silly Christians to talk about him as the chosen people. He said, I didn't choose them. Not mine. I'm glad of that, because when I look at the quills and these fellas' tears going out of the way, I'm just glad that they're not ours. See? We've had pretty good measure, you know. Barney Baruch left right after tear time, and one by one they're starting to go. Going to take the tears out of the way, but not to heaven. Now listen. Remember what Jesus said? No man ascends into it, but they come down out of it. And then he said that no one comes to him except it was given unto him, agronumos, by the Father creating force, the God that he was the fullness of, for you have seen me, have seen the Father. Now he said, no man comes to me except it be given unto this flesh by the deity itself. And then, for no purpose will I cast him out. And no man can come up to me except the Father's Spirit draw him, and I will raise him up in the last days. By the same direction then, the Jews that hated him, that plotted against him, that controlled the religious system of his ministry, during the time of his ministry, they were always looking for an excuse to stone him. They sent out their armies to get him. But they said, no man speaks like this man. We were afraid to bring him back to you, they told the high priest and the rest of the Jewish rascals. And they looked at Jesus. Jesus said, you know, one of these days you're going to be looking for me and you're not going to find me. Oh, where could you go in the world that the Nazareth and the Ogpoo couldn't find you? Where could you go the ADL wouldn't find you? Say, why, we're the children of the prince of this world. Jesus said, where I'm going, you can't come. Now hear this. He said, Jesus didn't mean it. He meant it. There would never be a Jew in heaven. He says, where I'm going, you can't come. But you remember what he said to you? Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe now in me embodied here. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go away, I go away and prepare a place for you. To where I am, there you may be also. So you can go to heaven. You hear this now? Your race, if they had something happen to this body, absent from this body, will be present with the Lord. And these other people that didn't come down out of it couldn't get back into it by God's own word. So there's a difference between people and what's on the inside. Yes, the Apostle Paul then again says the verse which we've called your attention. Significant. If this earthly house be dissolved, I have a dwelling place eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, because it was begotten. It was an issue. It came from the life-giving Spirit who was his Father. So he said, absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. But if they were not spirit of his Spirit, this was not so. Therefore, the sons and daughters of God possess equality. They have a celestial being begotten by the Father that their ego consciousness can dwell in the heavens or in the earth. Now they dwell in a physical body, but they have a house forever in the plane of spirit. We pray for the synthesis of celestial and physical planes together, for mortal being swallowed up in immortality, for the end of the processes of death, and for the triumph of God's kingdom. We're praying for the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall proclaim that Christ is Lord. But I want you to understand that God does not expect that when the millennium comes and that all peoples all over the world have accepted him, he doesn't expect that you're going to say, these are the children of God, my brethren. Because he said, I'm going to let the world know that I have loved you. Ask me of things concerning my sons, saith Isaiah. Command ye me. They're my offspring. With them I'm going to set the captives free. With them I'm going to educate the world and throw over the powers of darkness. And the world's going to know that ye are my sons and I have loved you. They're going to worship at thy feet. They're going to say, why? God is in thee. So God still talks about they and you. The Apostle Paul makes this marked distinction. When he talks about the things which he has suffered, he says they're not to be compared with the glory that is going to be revealed in him. He says the whole creation vibrates and groans together. They, as well as we,
waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And then in the magnitude of his concept, he again says his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are Tekan, offspring, children of God.
Therefore, we have greater responsibilities because we can respond to the Spirit. Therefore, the purposes of God is to predestinate this people who he did foreknow to conform to his own image. When did he foreknow you? Before the foundation of the world, when he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
You, the people that stood in the majesty of creation, when the morning stars and the archangels sang together, and all the children of God shouted for joy.
There hadn't been an evangelist anywhere as yet. The importance then is to know that what makes an individual respond to the call of Christ is that he is of the essence of God's Spirit. This again fulfills the function of the church as the oracle in the heart of God's kingdom, nations made out of his people.
The stream of the water of life flowing from the throne of God with its straight tree of life, with the 12 manners of fruit for the identity of his people Israel.
This stream is different than any other racial stream. It's different than any other kingdom. He said, therefore, as concerning you, in the book of Peter, 2 Peter, he said, ye are a chosen generation or progeny. You're a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a separated possession people. That's peculiar people, you say here in the translation. Go over to the margin. A people that are my own possession, my own house. Of course, they might call you peculiar. You know, the world order always thinks the people of God are peculiar. Peculiar from their standpoint. But out of the people of God comes civilization, comes advancement, comes guidance, comes vision, comes science, comes technology. The rest of the world stands in darkness compared to the vision, the inspiration. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Not to Africa, not to Asia, not to the ends of the earth. But with you, and with your obedience to the program that the Father sent you in the world to complete, ye shall carry light to the ends of the earth. The nations are going to come to the light of thy rising. The world order says the light's going to go out. They say we're going to have one world integrated, mongrelized, one world religion, massing all religions together. And the Father says, thou shalt have no other God before me. I'm a jealous God. You're my household. I'm not going to have your 11 pagan evil forces. I'm not going to let you marry with them. I'll destroy the line wherein this takes place, and I'll preserve only that which is pure. If you don't think God calls for racial purity, what do you think he's going to take the time to cleanse the blood of your people for? If you think you can separate the reality of your earth's existence from the program of your eternity, then let me tell you that when you were put here in bodies of flesh, it wasn't to enhance heaven. You were put here in bodies of flesh to bring heaven to earth. To occupy as a people different and separated unto the Father. He said, I have the power in my spirit to bring this challenge to your consciousness, to quicken you. So every function, every work of the church, every activity on spiritual level is activated by the essence of the Spirit and the intelligence and the grace and the love of God toward his children. And then what are you? You are regenerated, aren't you? It doesn't say I generated you in the earth. It says I regenerated you. Now, to be regenerated, you had to be enlivened by the life of God from the beginning. You could never be a people redeemed if you didn't belong to God before the redemption. We talk about renewing of your mind by the Holy Spirit to bring these things to your remembrance. How could you renew the mind if the mind didn't possess a perfect knowledge before that situation? It was the veil, the violation of divine law in the flesh that started with your Adamic forebearer that brought death on you or separated your consciousness from the unlimited power as spiritual sons and daughters of God in the earth with power. And therefore, it is the purpose of God to renew your consciousness, to re-empower his sons. You can do anything you know how to do, and you can't do anything you don't know how to do. So therefore, the most important thing you can have is the knowledge of God. people talk to me about saying, well, the whole program of God's spiritual has nothing to do with the earth, and that's why we're in a mess. And then you were taught to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, by a people that can say, our Father which art in heaven. And this is what you're here for, to build that kingdom. There is no facet of the development of nations and of peoples in the earth that belong to the Most High that is more important than our realizing what we're here for and occupied. People said, I become bored. I just don't seem to know what to do. I don't find anybody that knows the gospel of the kingdom that's bored again. In fact, every newspaper, everything that transpires is the beginning of points of prophecy or events taking place. And the Christian who knows who he is and knows what God's purpose is watching, waiting, believing, participating. I talked to an immature Christian the other day after 65 years in the church, thought he was quite mature. He says, all I'm trying to do now is just keep myself hidden from all the areas that might be bringing trouble for me and waiting till I die or Jesus comes to get me out of here. Well, I says, what does your Christian life consist of? Well, he says, basically, it's just believing what God said. Well, he says, I believe the Bible. I started to talk to him and didn't know anything about the Bible. He kept going over John 3:16, and he kept going over a few things that had happened that he believed on, and he knew the Bible stories and never applied them to himself, to his household, to his race, because he didn't know the theology. But apart from this, he said, all I want to do is I don't want them to find me. I don't want them to try to make a tax reprisal. I don't want to take a stand because, he says, all I have to do is shut myself off from the world and wait till I die or Jesus takes me. I think you're just a waste of time down here, aren't you? What'd they send you here to do? To hide out until it's time to go? You're like a man hiding his talents in the field. He's afraid to use them. So he said that his master reaped what he didn't sow. He sowed you here for a purpose. He sowed all right. He put you here. Even if you're not germinating very good. You know, he's worried about dying. I said, except the grain of wheat go down in the ground, it doesn't come up and produce a head anyhow. You know, he called you his own people. He said you were the children of the kingdom. You were a holy seed. He separates you from the other people. And then a very special other people that he said are Satan's own children. He said the field was the world. Its peoples made it up. Then he said, I sowed a seed in the field. They were the children of the kingdom. And Lucifer came along and sowed a seed. Don't think he can't do this. He can do this. And they were the progeny or children of the wicked one. And this is where your trouble comes from. And if you use them as ambassadors to the United Nations or let them sit in the Treasury Department or you let them affect your thinking or say you can't pray or you can't read the Bible because they don't like it, because they hate Jesus, if you let them do that in your country, then you've let the seed of the evil one, a people unassimilatable, affect the great structure of a nation of God's kingdom. I get sad and disgusted sometimes with politicians who lost the vision of statesmanship to be politicians. And then every once in a while, I feel like the Word says that there is great rejoicing among the angels in heaven when one single Israelite, one single child of God, as a transgressor, returns to obey. The other day when I heard old Gerson get up and say, if I have to spend the rest of my life, I'm going to fight these nine men on that court. Come join me. We're going to put prayer back in school. We're going to put Bible reading in this Christian nation. We're not going to let anybody say, we can't read the Bible. We can't pray. Well, we want to. Well, my friends, that's the old fight. You can find plenty of areas of mistakes and plenty of areas of lack of vision. Anytime you supported this whole mongrelization, civil rights mess, the church, my friends, was on the wrong side and helping the devil by a propaganda lie. Anybody that voted for that made a very critical mistake. But any time somebody comes out to challenge any part of this evil and take a stand for God and His Word, then this is correct. You don't hold over him when he's correct. His error, you only recognize what he's doing that's constructive and then try to wake him up on the rest. A lot of things people don't know. And I'll tell you one thing you can know right now. There's a difference in people. And did you know there's not going to be any Negroes in the United States in a few years? Did you know that? Someone said, how do you know that? Because everybody's going to be under his own vine, under his own fig tree. And when we get the figs out, they're not going to be here, because we're the olive branch of Israel. We're a part of the olive branch. And these Negroes that came in on the ships of Lucifer from where he gathered them out in the Milky Way, they're not going to be here either. They may be down in Africa for a while. A lot of them may find transportation back to where they came from. But the whole problem is getting things back in order. It's Satan that messed it up. But in the meantime, you don't violate the laws of God to absorb and integrate and intermarry or place above you the household of God, the nations of God's kingdom, mentalities that lack the quality and cannot produce the standards of the kingdom. All I have to do is look at Africa. The United Nations interfered with all the affairs of Christian civilization, the white man, his development, and they turned all these areas, whole areas of them, back over to the black man. And you read United States news last week, they're all going down the drain. They're disintegrating, they're collapsing. They've lost the inspiration and the vision of the sons of God.
Learn that your first responsibility is to God your Father and to your kinsmen, knowing that God made his first responsibility to his kinsmen. Say, follow me. You want to follow Christ, then make your first responsibility to his kinsmen. Because he said, therefore I did this, because these were my kinsmen. And then after he entered into the nether world and preached unto the souls of the descendants of Adam, and it said he ascended as the captain of their salvation, bringing his many sons under glory. So he went down there and talked to the soul consciousness of his offspring, held in the bondage of Lucifer, had conquered it now with his own crucifixion. And with the power of his own resurrection, he brought them out with him and brought these spirits back into the heavens. And Lucifer could never put one of the spirits of the children of God in another world again. All the preachers notwithstanding, the scripture proves it. Justified by his grace. So we don't boast the fact that our conduct was so excellent that they couldn't keep us out. They couldn't keep us out of celestial realms because of the greatness of our Father, because we were spirit of his spirit, because our transgressions may have been in the body, but we have eternal life in the spirit. And as the soul consciousness becomes adjusted by the spirit and transformed, as his mind is renewed and his entity is regenerated, he turns from darkness to light, from evil to good. The mystery of transformed men is the mystery of the essence of God's spirit, bringing the image of proper conduct by its witnessing impact inside of men and producing a new performance. There is no question about the fact that if I asked you today, where are the Christian nations of the world? You wouldn't say they're down in Africa. You wouldn't say they're in Asia. You'd start naming for me the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, Germanic peoples. Say, these are the Christian peoples. You may say there's been areas in their history where their conduct wasn't Christian. Sometimes I find, though, that where they were obeying God to the last letter, people didn't vote was Christian because they didn't know who they were or what the enemy was doing. I'm going to tell you one of these days, there are things that are going to happen in America that people said it can't happen here, but it will. And instead of being as bad as people think, it will be a cleansing to the nation because of the forces that sought to destroy them. We're working for Lucifer, and they bring their own judgment upon their own heads.
Jesus said, where I go, you cannot come. But for you, I'm preparing a place for you. Now what's the grace of God go into the ages to come, when his kingdom's triumphant, when he even goes far enough to make new creatures out of some of the peoples that are in earth. When the grace of God fulfills even the words in Isaiah when he says, all flesh shall be saved, as is written. That's too far in advance of theology for some of the Nephites, but God is big enough. And he said there is a difference in people. And he says, I, God, ought to know. That's why I segregate. That's why I select. That's why I said, you're a holy people, and I place you above all the people on the face of the earth.
This is the reason why God says, I call you out, I separate you, I discriminate in your selection, because God knows. This is why he said, I separate sheep from goats, because God knows sheep from goats, even if some preachers don't. You know why the church gets in trouble? Because they try to get a number of people in, irrespective of who they are, and they get a lot of goats to the church, and they butt things apart. So he said, how are you going to reach these people? You minister to them, all right, but you recognize their limitations. So he said, don't you think we ought to have ministers of every people on the face of the earth? You can have them, all right, but if they're going to function with the highest illumination of the church, they have to be the household of the Most High. Because Levi shall be thy ministers forever, forever and forever, even among the kingdom of God, among the nations that have come out of the tribes of the Most High. With their spiritual entity and calling, God scattered each Levi among the people. But remember, they still have to be white. They're not black Levites. They're not, my friends, Asiatic Levites. They're still the household. And therefore, I want you to know that the kingdom of God, spiritual center of his church, the nations of his kingdom, draw their identity out of the stream of life that flows from his throne. And I show you the new order of the ages. I show you the new Jerusalem that has descended, the household of God, not a city just of buildings, but of people, coming down out of the heavens from God throughout all these days, a culture like a bride prepared for God her husband. And he showed me the names on the gates and the route in. There was the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. God said, I am married unto you, O Israel. And then Jesus talked about the church. He said, I present you unto me like a chaste virgin, like a bride prepared for a husband. He again points out that you are the flesh offspring of the Most High God. You are the body of God in the world today. You are a Christed people because you are spiritual seeds in a physical world. And as your consciousness is activated by the mind of God, then the great church body complete becomes a forceful impact of mighty sons. It becomes the great body of God moving through the world with miracle power. If there ever was a challenge to Christians all over this nation, don't mongrelize or integrate your race. Don't accept this design of pollution. Call for your nation to get out of the United Nations and every other association that links you with pagan countries, for God should come out from among them, be ye separate. Call for the standard of God to be raised up, let the chips fall where they will, and then call for the judgments of God to fall on all who've struck you. For his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We're going to speak tonight on the subject, the coming deliverance of America. Do not forget this subject. Let's see if we can't return early and bring more people. Apparently the rains let up. A little storm affects more people here in California than anywhere in the country. They got 3 foot of snow in Virginia. They got 51 below zero in the central and northern states. And here, why, you can go out without an overcoat as far as that's concerned. So let's fill this auditorium and let's come out early and bring others with us. Let's call people and see they get out. Because our subject tonight is the deliverance of America, coming deliverance of America. We'll be speaking Wednesday night in Lancaster at this open Bible study. People come from all over, from Santa Barbara, from San Joaquin Valley, all over this coastal plain, and from the areas in the desert. And we take the questions. We can't take all the questions sometimes because there's so many questions coming in from all over the world. But if you've got a question, we'll answer it. And if it's avoided, it's not because it can't be answered. It's just because you can't answer 1,000 questions all at once. But don't miss these Bible studies, because we cover with material and with facts things that you have a right to know, because every secret thing shall be made known in this day in which you live. The fullness of the wisdom of God for you and the earth is an open book. And so the Wednesday night Bible study will be held this week on schedule. And then we'll be San Diego on Thursday. We'll be back here next Friday night as we cover the blueprint of world events as they relate to biblical prophecy. We'll announce our subject for next week this evening. And we take your offering this afternoon. There's always one thing about this congregation. The audience is greater, larger, and reaches farther than any single church in this whole area, probably in the nation, because you have millions of people worshiping with you as the tapes go from here to the great walls of copying tapes, where these machines send them out by the thousands, where they go out in circuits all over the nation, the world. So your missionary vision has sent the light of the gospel to people without ministers, or to ministers who worship with you, or whose people in their Bible studies are thinking with you, or they're going out to conservative movements and patriotic groups, because it is a challenging force, the Word of God. If America is going to reverse the areas of destruction, it's going to be done by the dynamic of God's Word. Remember that. Nothing else is going to save America but the life of God and the children of God establishing again the kingdom. So help us to reach the people. You're reaching them by the million. You're taking hold well in Africa, in Australia. Your word is being translated into many languages and spread all over Europe. So today we need your stewardship, your tithes, your offerings, because it takes the same amount and more each week to buy the tape that must be met. The thousands of dollars that comes from you and those who God's Spirit moves upon to help keep this going makes possible this move of God in this hour. So, again, your tithes and your offerings are vital to this. If it's repetitious, just remember that we have to get the offering every week. And so we're not a bit backward about asking you for it and asking the nation for thousands of dollars a week, because it takes it to make it go. God's honored our prayer and honored our command. We urge you now to hold up your hands, our hands in stewardship. And God said, I'll grant back to you. He's promised to multiply it for you 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, be a wall of fire about you, fill your barns. Trust God with tithing. Trust Him with your investment in His kingdom, for it's your inheritance also as you build with your Father who puts these things in your hands. You know, sometimes I think the key to success and wealth is taking God into partnership and not being afraid to invest in God's behalf, which is yours. Almighty and Eternal Father, we want Thy blessing to rest upon this offering, multiply it to carry forward the great gospel of Thy kingdom, to do the work of Thy church, supply the need of these Thy people, according to the greatness of Thy power and glory. And we ask it. Amen. Eternal Father, we invoke the unction of Thy Holy Spirit to rest upon these Thy children, benediction in the Lord Jesus Christ.